Okay. Next item, number 8, energy major projects briefing. Travis Nelson, section manager.
Afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson. I know nobody's coming to fill, and I figured he's my big boss, so I need to do that. So what I'm here to talk to you about today is our Habitat Program Energy Major Projects section. It's a group of folks that's been in existence for about 50 years, actually, with the department. Been through different variations. We just recently had a retirement. One of our longest-standing state employees was actually in this section, been here for 53 years of state employment. So the reason why the Department of Fish and Wildlife is at the table in the energy arena is a lot to do with the fact that the Federal Power Act calls us to do so. The Federal Power Act calls the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to the authority of issuing licenses for hydroelectric projects that are non-federal type projects. So these are not Columbia River energy projects. These are more so the projects that are trips to the Columbia. And why did that do that? Okay. So under the Fish and Wildlife Coordination Act, it requires that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission consider fish and wildlife agencies both at the federal level and the state level to provide comments and input for terms and conditions that go into the licenses for these projects. And we're talking these licenses are on their term again from 30 to 50 years. DFW generally will negotiate for mitigation agreements directly with licensees, and the license agreement typically runs with the mitigation agreement. So agreements that we get with the licensees for mitigation for fish and wildlife impacts will run sometimes just for the term of the license, and others can run in perpetuity. Another entity that we work with is the Washington Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council. They have authority over wind power, solar, geothermal, and others you see there. The majority of what we work on in the state of Washington by way of renewable projects, as we all know, just driving to eastern Washington, is wind power. FSEC also has authority over the installation of pipelines, petroleum refineries, and the like. So we engage at the federal level and the state level with these licensing authorities to ensure that fish and wildlife interests are met. So with wind power projects, there's an option for the permit to be issued by the county or by the state. And the state entity, again, would be the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council. This is a decision that's made by the proponent. So if it's more advantageous for them to go to the state process, then they will. Otherwise, they'll go through the county. Just as a reference, there's about 3 projects for wind power that have gone through the FSEC process. Most projects do go through the county conditional use permit process. So typically, the mitigation agreements that are negotiated with the entities that are the project proponents that are proposing projects are directly negotiated with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Sometimes we're a party to a settlement agreement in which there's several other entities that are interested in project impacts and mitigating, therefore, of those impacts. We will actually get into a settlement agreement with them, but oftentimes we're directly negotiating for mitigation for impacts to fish and wildlife. One example of that would be in this area, the Cowlitz Wildlife Area was purchased outright by Tacoma Power for the operation by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. They cover all the costs associated with that project. So the Energy Major Project staff coordinate internally with all of the staff that have anything to do with fish or wildlife management that could be affected by the operation or installation of an energy facility. So we're in the upfront phases of trying to provide certainty and no surprises for the project proponents. So we work collaboratively with them as well with our own internal folks to get all the considerations out up front. So when you're in a permit process, there isn't an appeal, there isn't a big question mark that comes up. So over the past 30 years, the Major Projects Division, now this section that I've been talking about, has secured in excess of 125 mitigation agreements throughout the state. And those agreements can vary from like we've talked a bit about today, is they can be conservation easements, they can be land acquisitions, and they can also be operational costs for hatcheries. They can actually be hatcheries themselves, funding of FTEs. And resulting in about 150,000 acres of conservation, and again, ranging in terms from 50 years to permanent. And the reason that that varies is because depending on where the ownership of the land itself is, you may not be able to secure a longer agreement. Oftentimes, these lands will be owned by the utility, not by the department. So an example of this is the Sullivan Settlement Agreement, which is in eastern Washington. Some of the things that we've secured for this settlement agreement include benefits for kokanee spawning, habitat, and fish passage in Harvey Creek, and reduce impacts on lake operations. We're doing a construction of a cold water release site, which is improving water quality. Funding to DFW to purchase equipment, conduct fisheries management work. Increase minimum discharge flows to benefit downstream fish spawning and incubation. And the list goes on and on. As you can see, this particular agreement has actually been a major milestone for us, and it's associated with the Sullivan, the Boundary Dam project. Those familiar with operations on the Columbia River are certainly familiar with the issues associated with Boundary Dam, with total dissolved gas and the like. And so what we've done is tried to work collaboratively with the utility to actually help get at some of those things. Another thing in that Boundary Dam settlement agreement is reducing fish entrainment mortality, so when fish get pulled into the facility, that they oftentimes don't make it out of the facility alive. We're trying to reduce that impact. We're getting some fish passage, improving water quality and habitat restoration for native salmonids, getting rid of some of the northern pike, hopefully. We'll see about that. Wildlife lands, talked a bit about this on this particular project, about 1,900 acres that's actually for project impact mitigation, improving mitigation and recreation access. So the department now has a website that this popped into my mind as I didn't corroborate with the Lands Division on this, I promise, but we actually have all of our mitigation agreements online, and they are searchable by region, and you can click on the particular region, and what will happen is that the mitigation agreement will pop up, and it will look something like this. They're all in PDF format, and they're open to the public. This gives folks an opportunity both to see exactly what it is that's out there, and it's actually a great enforcement tool because we're not certainly going to be always available to search on this, and it helps the utilities themselves be able to remember what they agreed to 25 years ago. So here's my slide of the Bridge to Nowhere, and the reason why I put this here is just with the decreasing resources on all fronts for our department in particular, we're going to have to continue to search for these kind of partnerships with places like utilities to help us meet our mandates for fish and wildlife protection. So in the future, I think it's no secret to us, we've learned this, is that energy production and continued facility development is a national priority. Energy is going to be something that we talked a bit about today, is, you know, the fact that we aren't seeing a drop in population of human beings, and we're going to have more energy for that. I like my showers hot and my beers cold myself, and so I know that we're going to continue to have maybe more wind farms, you know, maybe we're going to have more hydro. I'm not sure what the picture looks like, but my point to say this is that DFW needs to remain engaged at that table, because the decisions, the big decisions, are not being made at the Fish and Wildlife table. They're being made at the energy table. So that concludes my presentation.
Very good. Interesting. Commissioner Smith?
Just a quick observation of the Bridge to Nowhere. Could that be turned into a wildlife viewing site?
Yeah, in fact, I did a little viewing of wildlife after the last week.
Put a railing at one end? And
yeah. There was actually an elk on the site I'm standing on a couple weeks ago. We were actually on that bridge.
Where is it?
That's up on the Nisqually River. That's Tacoma Powerland. DNR's got, that's an old DNR bridge, and Tacoma Power has an access in there.
On a more serious note, though, I am somewhat serious about that, too. But do you have your interactions, like with Puget Sound Energy, would you characterize those as very positive or positive?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Puget Sound Energy has been a great partner. As I mean, Jen mentioned a few moments ago, the Wild Horse Project, I think, would be a great example of collaboration between our department and an energy interest.
you know, they're very proud of that, you know.
Well, I think that we're both pretty proud of it. I think that it's a testimony to what can be done. As you talk to the regional director in Region 3, who was a major part of that, Jeff Taylor, he'll say that it wasn't all roses getting there, but the outcome was great. And we continue to have a very strong, positive relationship.
And then one last note, because your observation of energy is right. I mean, you know, that's the big player in all of this. When we can show success stories like that, they should be as visible as can be to the broad public. So we're not perceived as them or or scenarios.
Right.
That when we work together in a collaborative way for something that is beneficial to a broad swath of society or all of society, we have to let that message be known. So
Commissioner Perry?
Yeah, I had a similar question to that in your working with these companies for mitigation under the law that you outlined. Do you find a fair amount of agreement? You just given an example of a real positive one, but in general, is there a fair amount of agreement, or do you have to fight for everything you get in terms of mitigation?
It depends on the proponent, of course. Generally speaking, I would say in the interest of wind power, they are very good to work with. They have an interest in staying green. I think that there's no secrets about the hydro world. It depends from utility to utility. We're a fish agency. We have an opinion about dams, and utilities have an opinion about dams. And for us, we want to just make sure there's an equitable balance, and that's what I strive for with my team. Is there's no illusion that we need energy, and so let's do it right.
Do you do the on-the-ground applied research that would lead you to a conclusion of what's been lost, or is there sort of standard replacement things that you use for a given project?
A bit of both. If you've familiarized yourself with the wind power guidelines, we do have a bit of a prescriptive mitigation framework set up in the wind power guidelines, and that was intended to provide certainty, so no surprises. But that's a terrestrial habitat-based document. So if you're talking about wind power, that works really well. When you're talking about anadromous fish populations in rivers and dams, that's a little bit trickier.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Very good.
Thanks.
Good job. Thank you.